What's going on, Wolfpack Nation? Welcome to another episode of Tuffy Talk, and this is one that I'll be true and honest here to y'all, Wolfpack Nation, that this is one that hits a little bit hard for me, for sure, you know, as we have a friend of the podcast, and actually, he was a part of our fifth ever episode of Tuffy Talk, and that's Associate Head Coach Adam Hall. Coach Hall, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me, Layton. I appreciate it, being able to come back on before I head out.
I know. We were just talking a little bit off air, man. It's definitely hits a little hard for sure, but again, super excited. I actually was talking to Robbie Wendell from Intermat over the weekend at the AC tournament. I was telling him, I was like, however many years Coach Hall gave us is a bonus, like simple as that, because I was like, there's no doubt that guy is good enough. He deserves to be a head coach, but then they – if he decides that, hey, I just want to be, you know, associate head coach and stay here in Raleigh and, you know, with Coach Pop and the Wolfpack, you know, then I'm all for it. I'm definitely not complaining one bit. So excited to, you know, for you to get the opportunity and excited for you to, I'm sure, head back a little bit closer to home. And again, we'll kind of talk a little bit about that as well, if that kind of made his way into it. But with that being said, Coach, first of all, I mean, been a long time. You know, I think this is what, your seventh or eighth year? Is it eighth year?
Nine seasons.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. My goodness. Yeah. So kind of thinking back, you know, here, it was funny. We were talking beforehand about, you know, kind of just, you know, what we were talking about 3 years ago when we interviewed you the first time around. And, I want to kind of just start off a little bit talking, maybe kind of going back to the old times, thinking about, you know, what were some of your answers to the questions then? But one of the questions which I want to ask about, so now with 9 seasons as a part of the NC State wrestling program, one of the questions which I had asked you then was, what were some of your favorite matches you've ever been a part of during your time at NC State? And at the time, you had mentioned the upsetting Iowa and Oklahoma State on the road, which I'm sure is still up there for sure in terms of your favorite matches. But you also mentioned the nail biter win over UNC that season back in 2020 as well. But would you add any other matches to that list? Any recent matches that stand out to you?
Yeah. A really program-defining win was Michael Macchiello winning a national title, because that put us in a tie for fourth, and then we ended up winning accomplishing a big task, a big goal of ours to bring home a NCAA team trophy, and and his win plus Kyle Snyder beating Adam Kuhn the very next match, actually the last two matches of the national tournament in 2018, decided the team trophy race, and it was just something I'll never forget, and hoping to replicate that this coming weekend.
Yeah, no, well, and I didn't even realize actually the Kyle Snyder match really made that much of an impact, which is kind of interesting, because I mean, obviously, when you know, those NC State fans who know Kyle Snyder more of know him as the guy that took away Gwiz's opportunity at three-peat for a national title. So okay, so maybe I don't look at the name Kyle Snyder with as much you know, hold back, I guess, as maybe as I originally thought. So that's good to know. Yeah, like, you know, kind of talk to me about, I mean, obviously the story of Machiavelli, it's an interesting thing, you know, being that, you know, today's day and age, especially for in-state wrestling, where, you know, we're lucky enough, you know, from you and Coach Pop and the staff, you know, that we're able to work with, you know, the best of the best, you know, the, you know, guys that win multiple state titles in Pennsylvania, you name it, you know, top recruits out there. But Mike Machiavelli is definitely one of the stories. I mean, he's a, you know, friend of mine for sure. We talk every so often, and it's really kind of a, you know, like one of those walk on kind of come from high stories. Not to say that he came in not as a, you know, a great wrestler, but he just wasn't necessarily talked about as, you know, amongst the elites from the start. He really had to work his way up here. So I just want to kind of spend a minute on, you know, does that kind of piece kind of stand out to you even a little bit more with the fact that, I mean, like, it really just kind of cultivated into this magical run towards a national title that I think that if you'd have asked anybody 3 years ago, they probably wouldn't have even been able to spell his last name. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just to kind of talk a little bit about that. So, like, does that kind of add to kind of the honorary, the simplicity behind it a little bit of that story?
Yeah, he's obviously a great story, just a one-time North Carolina State champ. There were several people who were recruited here over the top of him, or before he got here, he was recruited as a walk-on. But just a guy that had a lot of tangibles, really athletic, really really hardworking, and just didn't want to settle for anything less than being the best, and just needed some time to develop. And that's been a benchmark of our program is development, because we've had a number of guys, including a current guy on our in our lineup, in Alex Faison, now a two-time national qualifier, who same kind of thing. I think he won one, maybe two North Carolina State titles, was recruited by maybe a couple schools, had an opportunity here, and it took him, you know, a couple years, a few years to get into the lineup. And it was kind of the same for Mike. And he just needed a great environment to be in, and in terms of development, and NC State provided that.
Yeah. Well, I kind of think about, and I actually spoke to him about this, that one of the things maybe a lot of State fans may not even recognize is, so when that match happened between him, I can't remember the wrestler's name, but the guy for Ohio State that he beat in the home duel.
Colin Moore.
Yep. Great match for sure. What a nail biter for sure. I know we talked about that in the first episode, but one of the things that stood out, that if you kind of go back in this kind of a little detail, is that when he won, he obviously was overcome with excitement and well-deserved, and, you know, gave his, you know, fist pump and yell, but then immediately took a deep breath and calmed right back down and went and shook the guy's hand and went to go do his cool down or whatever. And, you know, nobody probably recognized that, but I think that goes to really kind of like what you were saying, that he had a goal of winning a national title. He didn't have a goal of just competing or, you know, being, you know, finishing an All-American. Like, he had a goal of winning a national title, and he said, like, that was really kind of his way of reminding himself that this is a great accomplishment for sure to pull off this win, but at the end of the day, this is just a step towards the national championship. And so, I mean, there's no doubt. And I mean, like, and do you kind of give yourself, you know, and Coach Pop a little bit of credit with, I mean, just helping him work up towards that mindset? Because that's not a common mindset, especially in today's day and age, where I feel like, the, you know, most kids, you know, want, you know, most people want things handed to them. Like, that guy really put a mindset in, if I want a national championship, I'm not selling for anything less.
Yeah, I mean, he's a competitor at heart in everything he does. And I think that drives a lot of it. I see a similar thing with several guys on our team that are in a great position to win national titles next weekend. It's just the competitiveness. If you're hyper competitive, you're going to do whatever it takes to put yourself in the best position to win.
Yeah.
Taking care of your body, nutrition, recovery, sleep, training. Like, there's a lot of intention. There's a lot of care. And Mike had all those tangibles, just, again, needed training partners, need a little bit of management.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So moving on to one of the other things which we had brought up was the question of pack mentality, you know, or not even a question, sorry, the phrase of pack mentality, and, you know, kind of what that means. And, you know, just kind of really, for me, kind of it summarizes up as, again, a goal of not just being a top 25 program, not just a goal of being a top 10 program, you know, but winning a team national championship. That's really the goal, and really being all in on that. And so, I mean, I think it's really cultivated, in my opinion, this season to, I think, one of the strongest teams to really compete for that, you know, that goal. I mean, having five wrestlers in the top five seeds within their respective weight classes, eight within the top 10, you know, there's a lot of guys that are competing for national titles at their own individual level. You know, can you kind of talk about maybe just like, you know, just how the program has really built up to, I think, this opportunity, and talk about really your thoughts on, you know, this upcoming NCAA tournament, and you know, what's like, how realistic do you really think are you know, that we can compete with those, you know, Iowa and Penn State schools to win national title in 2024?
Before we continue, I want to take a quick second to tell you about our sponsor, Flatlands Jessup Insurance Group, that has your whole world covered, with agents in five offices throughout Eastern North Carolina to help you decide how much coverage you need. Offering policies for home and auto, recreational vehicles, commercial, crop, health, life, and employee benefits. They are able to combine options to find a comprehensive solution that works for you. Flatlands Jessup protects the things you love so you can spend less time worrying and more time enjoying them. Find them on Facebook and Instagram at Flatlands Jessup. You can also visit their webpage at www.flatlandsjessup.com. So please make sure to go and check them out.
Well, we certainly have the talent, and it was obvious this year with what we've accomplished. But at the end of the day, you have to show up. We address our guys usually every morning and before we get going. And I told them, like, whatever you've done so far, it's like at this point in the year, it's 0-0. Nothing you've done to this point in a way matters next week. And it's validating. It's validating, like, that people out there think you're a top 8 seed or whatever, whatever the seeds are. But at the end of the day, you still have to go earn it. Nobody owes you anything. You haven't earned anything up to that point. So, you know, you still have to keep a hunt mindset. I'm positive that our guys are going to do it next week.
Would you say that over the last 3 years that your definition of the pack mentality mindset has changed at all? Or would you say it's pretty much stayed cemented throughout the entire time?
No, I think it's when I think of pack mentality, it's a group of people trying to accomplish a similar goal, a vision, and you have to be in it together in order to do it. And are you going to accomplish individual goals along the way? Yeah, that's a big part of it. But for our guys, it's always been winning a national title. And that you look left and right, is Penn State a favorite? Sure. Are they top heavy? Sure. You know, but crazy things happen at the national tournament. I mean, you saw it in 2018. You've seen it every year with just people coming out of the woodwork. And I think for a lot of our guys, it's keeping a chip on their shoulder and being aggressive and free next week.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, what was it? The Iowa wrestler, 125 wrestler last year. I think it's Spencer Lee, I think it was, getting upset in the semifinals. And I mean, That has been said as the biggest upset in college wrestling history. Guy that won 3 straight national titles and seemed like he was going to walk into his 4th. So, yeah, no, anything can happen. And especially, too, because one of the biggest things that I know we've asked a lot about, was made very clear, was the change of the off-season, conditioning classes, really just kind of focusing more on trying to have the guys as fresh as possible heading into the postseason. And I think it definitely showed, this past weekend, in Chapel Hill in the ACC tournament, most dominant ACC championship victory, in a long time. And, would you say that you have seen a difference as well, kind of from the coach's perspective of, guys being maybe fresher and more ready than they ever have heading into the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I think we've prioritized a lot more rest and recovery this year, and it's allowed us to go hard and harder at times than we have in the past, just because our guys are more fresh, they're not as banged up. And that's one thing I'm really grateful for, is we have a pretty solid team health-wise, and you look across the country and guys are just – certain teams and guys around the country are just trying to make it through nationals because they're just all sorts of banged up. And I think what we've done this year has been huge for our guys and their mentality, their health, just preparing them in a little bit different way for the postseason. And you saw it, like, we took our lumps. We anticipated that a little bit more. Like, I don't know if we've ever looked that poorly in December against or January against Oklahoma State. And I know people had a lot of question marks, but we didn't necessarily, we looked at it as like, there's a lot of season left. And if one thing, it's going to fire our guys up to train and get ready to go for the ACC dual season. And it did. So,
yeah.
Just excited to see these guys peak next weekend.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, obviously the Oklahoma State loss was, kind of a head turn a little bit for every NC State wrestling fan, for sure. But I mean, I've always said, and I've reminded people that then they, out of conference duels are really more for momentum, but also for just more of national seeding, to kind of help build resumes of wrestlers, things like that, to go against, some elite competition. But you know, at the end of the day, it's especially with it being so early in the season, you know, with still so many duels left, it's like, okay, you know, brush it off, learning opportunity, on to the next. I mean, look at Ed Scott. I honestly said, in my opinion, he was the most surprising wrestler of the AC tournament, just because, you know, he took a lot of bumps, you know, a lot of, you know, kind of sideways face losses over the season, and man, pulling off the, in my opinion, the upset of the tournament, beating Bryson Adonian, just because I think a lot of people, you know, saw Bryson Adonian for what he was, which is one of, in my opinion, one of the greatest wrestlers in Virginia Tech history. And he controlled Bryson Adonian. Like, it wasn't, in my opinion, it wasn't close. He really controlled that match. I know that Adonian wasn't 100% completely, you know, can put that little bit asterisk on it, but I mean, you know, everybody's got a little bit of bruises and bumps at this point. So, I mean, I'm not going to say, like, you know, Scott, I'm sure Ed Scott wouldn't say he was 100%, but hey, listen, at the end of the day, it don't matter. It's 0-0, and there's no, you know, you have to win by certain many because this guy's not as healthy. No, at the end of the day, it's 0-0. Whoever has most points in the win wins. So, you know, kind of talk a little bit about, you know, with Ed Scott, you know, in my opinion, like, he's got the ceiling. He's got a ceiling to win a national championship, but I think it's just a little bit of that consistency. Just getting him locked in every match, you know, and, you know, not making those little mistakes. Like, for example, in the first time around with the wrestler from UNC, there'd be a lot of times where he'd have the guy's legs, but just couldn't quite get that takedown, you know? And so, I mean, you know, is that something you guys are really focused on with him? What's kind of the biggest conversation what you've had with him in the locker room repeatedly?
For him, it's just moving forward and letting it go. He's usually, like in the past, been a guy that almost lets it go too much and is wild and all over the place. And he got to a point where he was just way too conservative. So we're like trying to find that balance. And I mean, he looked really good today training wise. I told him, I went with him yesterday, and he, I don't remember who he went with today, but he was, his reaction time, his timing for his attacks, like everything just seemed crisp. And I said, that's what we want. Like this time of year, you're not thinking, you're going.
Yep.
So I'd say it's like pretty similar to Camacho's trajectory. It was just like, you had a lot of expectations, you dipped, and now it's like building them back up, and just they're coming into form, championship form.
And one of the biggest things, we posted a clip of Jackson Arrington's takedown at the end of in overtime to win the AC title. So I want to ask you, Coach, you know, again, everybody's going back and forth saying, that wasn't a takedown, or that was, you know, like, you know, Caleb Henson had him already. And I think that, you know, Tariq Wilson kind of gave a great tweet about it, kind of explaining, you know, why. But, I mean, kind of give us your thoughts in terms of, I mean, in my opinion there, it was – I think the ref could have called it either way. I think there was some times where he could have gave Caleb the takedown. There were some times he could have given us a takedown. And just, in my opinion, the call just went our way in that match, which we won't complain about it because there's going to be other times where it doesn't go our way. But, I mean, would you agree with that synopsis?
Yeah, I look at it, and it's almost like Tariq's interpretation. And this is obviously my opinion, my interpretation. Obviously, I have a dog in the fight. Even if I didn't have a dog in the fight, I would just try to give a fair assessment of what I saw. And going back and watching it, and your video helped, and there were different angles that I saw, Henson never actually hooked Jackson's leg, right? So Jackson continued to progress in this situation, whereas once Jackson hooked the leg, Henson never made an attempt to not only get off his belly but get off his hip. And even in practice this week, I said, look, in the event that we're at the national tournament, the same position, this is how you improve even more to show the ref that this is absolutely a takedown. I told him at the national tournament, I think it's more 50-50. I don't know what you're going to get out there. I think they're going to hold that position a little bit longer than you expected. For you, maybe look and see the officials going to award you the takedown. If not, you got to continue to work in that situation. I'm not saying I don't think what he had was a takedown, but saying like, hey, if you're in this position and at the national tournament and you're not getting a takedown and you don't want to stalemate that position of advantage, then you have to improve it. And you have a good opportunity to improve it because the guy, there's little that the guy can do coming off of his belly where he's at. It's pretty hard. So I just think that the situations were different with what Henson had and what Jackson had.
Okay. Yeah, and that makes sense, and that's pretty much what Tariq gave as well, which makes sense. Just, you know, unfortunately, as I know you all well know too well, you know, it's takedown is not an easy definition. You know, for me with you know, with anybody who's new to wrestling, you know, I really just kind of explain it as, you know, really control of the hips, you know, hands down on the floor, like, you know, like that's really what you're looking for. You know, now there's other pieces to that for sure, but I think in my opinion that's really kind of the basic definition. But you know, kind of talking a little bit too though, like you know, I still remember with that, because you're talking about calls that go your way or not your way in a NCAA tournament. Do many of them get worse? And I believe it was Ed Scott's freshman year with the roll through pin. You remember that call at all? Like that? To
yeah,
me, that's still one that stands out to me to this day. Like, what was that? That was just bad.
Yeah. That was an ACC official too, by the way.
Oh man, yeah, just it still stings, but. You know, so, you know, talking a little bit more about the AC tournament, though, I want to talk a little bit about Trent Hiley, though. And obviously, you know, we're spending this first part kind of talking about the team and kind of previewing this NCAA tournament a little bit here. But, like, and I kind of ask you to, but basically I made a list of the top five in-state wrestlers in program history, which I want to kind of get your thoughts on. But I want to talk first about Trent here first. But, like, when I talk about, you know, why, because I have Trent at five for me in terms of all-time wrestlers, so, and Hayden's not in there right now, but I've heard feedback that he should be, and I'm not saying necessarily he's not. I'm not saying he's not in that conversation, but luckily enough, NC State's had some really great wrestlers over the years for sure. But again, we'll talk about that. But with Trent, the biggest thing that stands out to me is, man, I've never seen a better leader than him. You know, for his age, like. There's nothing more I could possibly think of that he could do more or do better. Like he does everything. Like there's no doubt he works hard. He puts 150% in every single match he does. He wrestles with emotion. He's, you know, even kind of, you know, a showman a little bit to the crowd, you know, just to get him into it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, bringing them on, which I love. But then also too, like the off the mat stuff. I mean, like all the way basically. You know, basically like a point of no return before his match starts. Like at this point, I need to start focusing on my match. Like he's out there, you know, cheering on his guys, coaching his guys, you know, being emotional with his guys. And then once his match ends, he's, you know, throwing on his shirt and he's right back out there, you know, watching the guys next match. But, you know, his obviously on the mat accomplishments go without saying, you know, just his record's impeccable, 2-time, you know, NCAA finalists and, you know, hopefully going to be national champion this year. But in my opinion, like, you know, just Trent Hiley, like he's just the ultimate NC State guy. Like when you think about in-state wrestling, like I couldn't think of a name to represent in-state wrestling better than Trent Hiley. Would you agree with that? Agree with that thought?
Yeah. In terms of total student athletes and human beings, just think the 9 years that I've been here, there's never been a more complete package. And that's saying even with his brother, because they were just different people, different human beings. They're both really good leaders and great students. Yeah, I don't know if I've ever coached anybody like Trent or will coach anybody like Trent. That's saying a lot because I have some pretty high expectations, you know, as I keep moving forward in the coaching world. He's just an incredible person, incredible teammate, student athlete. I mean, you just go across the board. In fact, I often describe him as an extension of our coaching staff. And oftentimes when we're addressing the team, he has something to say, or we often look to him and to see if he has any words. And he often does. And he just goes to show our trust in him as a leader and who he is.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's exciting. And, you know, and I do want to ask you from a coach perspective, you know, I know for him, one of the biggest reasons that he wanted to move up to 197 is that way he can finally rest, you know, live more comfortably in terms of not having, you know, to be more at his natural weight. But, you know, a lot of people are saying, oh, no, he definitely went to go because he wanted to go compete against Aaron Brooks again at 197, you know. Is, in your opinion, is there truth to that? And how much did that really contribute towards the decision to move up to 197?
I don't think it contributed at all. I think he had made a decision before Brooks decided to move up too. It was just we had thoughts of redshirting Isaac, and I think for Trent it was natural, it was easy for him to want to go up, and just it was kind of like Aiden. Just you put in years of cutting weight and just like enjoy your last year. And you'll get a great product because you're a good wrestler, you know, an elite wrestler. So I don't think Brooks was a factor. It's cool. I hope that things shake out and as they should, and those two get to battle it out again, because it's going to be fun.
Let's go. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Coach, we're having such a good time talking here. I completely forgot that I probably should at some point stop part one, and so that way we could pick this up back in part two, y'all. But first of all, Wolfpack Nation, I mean, I'll go ahead and say, and we'll kind of save the pageantry for the second part. But, you know, first of all, I mean, I want to thank Coach Hall again for coming on and all his, you know, 9 years of service to NCAA wrestling for sure. And so, you know, Wolfpack Nation, just highly suggest go give Coach Hall a follow on Twitter, and, you know, definitely keep up with him like we will for sure. And again, I think I speak for a lot of in-state fans, Coach Hall, when I say that a lot of us are going to become a little bit of Utah Valley wrestling fans starting in 2024. So definitely always got a huge support group here, Coach. We appreciate your time. Appreciate your service to this program, man.
Thank you. Really appreciate Wolfpack Nation and the time that I spent here.
Amen. And again, we'll talk a little bit more about that here, about that move here in part two, y'all. But with that being said, we'll see y'all for part two, and go Pack, y'all.